I got some things I want to share with you that will push us on a little bit in the study of Revelation. And I want to, there's some things that is significantly important to me that we all understand. In our personal walk with God, when we have a God encounter, which is what we've been talking about from Revelation 4, we sometimes put God in a box of how an encounter with Him is what it's supposed to look like, or what it's supposed to feel like, even. And if you put God in a box and you're not open to everything that God wants to share with you, you'll miss an encounter with the Lord. Because let me tell you, listen to this. You can be standing right next to Jesus and not recognize Him. Over and over again, that's found in the Scriptures. At His resurrection, for example, Mary was standing right there next to the Lord, and she didn't recognize who He was. She thought that He was the gardener. So you can be in the presence of God and not even know you're there if you're open to what the Lord wants to show you. So we're going to put on the screen up here the Scriptures, I think. And I'd like to start with Revelation 4:1, if we have that up there. And we know this verse, and I know that you're probably saying, when are we ever going to get out of Revelation 4:1? And I get that, but here's the thing that I want you to see. We've understood some key components to this verse. The first component is in the first two words, after this. How many of you remember after this? There's always going to be an after this. Don't get too hung up on where you are, because there's always an after this. Okay? And that's the first component. But after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, which gives us the second component to this verse, that there are spiritual portals everywhere. Everywhere this is going on. Now watch, I got to tell you, I'm amazed at where we are in time and what God is doing in the college campuses. And I'm so thankful that that's happening. Can I tell you what that is? It's a portal. It's a door that is opened. And it's significantly designed for that generation. Okay, it's significantly designed for that. That's a door that's open. Now watch this. And John goes on to say, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. We didn't get into the depth of that statement, but just to give you a preview of that, that statement refers to what John saw in chapter 1, which was the vision of Jesus Christ, the glorified Christ. He said, this is the voice that I heard talking with me. And this voice said, come up hither. Now, there is so many practical applications to that phrase, come up hither. We've been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places. We mount up with wings like eagles. What we want to really draw out of that is that you must be in the presence of Christ in order to take advantage of the portals that is open to you, so that you can encounter God. Jesus is calling John to be where He is. And this is the thing that I want you to see. Jesus says to John, come up hither, be where I'm at, and I'll show you things that'll be hereafter. I'll show you things that will be hereafter. Now, if you can find Revelation chapter 6, Ed, I want you to see this. And we're going to just look at the first two verses. But we're going to consider several, and then we're going to something else. Listen to this. And John said, and I saw. Y'all see that? So 4:1 says, come up hither, and I'll show you. Now John says, I saw. When the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Okay? So, Revelation 4:1 is John's encounter with Christ, and Jesus said there's a purpose to this encounter. Everybody listen to me. Everybody say, I'm listening. You never encounter the Lord without purpose from Christ. There is purpose and design in you encountering God. God is, listen, when you encounter God, how many of you know that when you encounter the Lord, there is a certain way you feel? And it's good. Maybe you express that, manifest it through weeping, maybe shouting, maybe crying, or laughing, or however the manifestation comes. I used to get a kick out of watching people who could cry and laugh at the same time. And you knew their tears were tears of joy, you know, because they was in the presence of God. They were encountering God. But can I tell you something? There is a deeper purpose in you encountering God than just to feel good. Sometimes God does want to just wrap his arms around you and love you up because you've been in a difficult season, and he wants to love you through that. That's wonderful. But can I, even in those times, I've noticed there is purpose. There's purpose in a God encounter. That, and sometimes that drives me insane at times, trying to figure out God's purpose. Every time something happens in my life, I'm looking for purpose. I'm trying to find purpose. And what is the purpose of this? This past week, I was in the truck coming home, and I'd had a long day, and it's a long story, but I can tell you that normally in my days, if something goes wrong early in the day, I can look for several things to go wrong. Okay, how many of you have ever experienced that? Okay, so I had one thing to go wrong, and I was expecting other things to go wrong. Well, the closer I got toward home, I got to thinking, hey, I'm going to get home, and nothing else is going to happen. And at about that time, I was doing about 75 mile an hour on Interstate 40, and the steer tire blowed in the truck. And that's not a, let me tell you, when your steer tire blows, that's not a very interesting thing. I was actually on the phone with Haley when it blowed, and it was like a cannon went off. And there was nothing left of the tire. I never saw the tire. There was nothing left on the rim. It just sat down on the rim, and it jerked the wheel. Now, watch this. It jerked the wheel at an exit ramp that I was approaching that was a rest area. At a time when the rest area should have been chocked full of trucks, there was one spot left, and it was the first spot. See how God does that? See, so now all through that, and I'm thinking, okay, what is the, there's a purpose. God is saying something. In the purpose here that he's working with John on, Jesus called John to encounter him for this purpose, to show him something. I want to show you things. Then we have Revelation 6, come and see. And John said, I saw. All right, so what was the purpose in John's encounter of Revelation 4? Was it all glory? We're going to get into the glory part as we go through chapter 4 and 5. But the purpose of the vision of the encounter was for John to see this. Now put up the next verse, Revelation 6:2, I think. And this will get us into where we are in this vision. And y'all know this. And he says, and I saw and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now this is the first seal. And we're not going to unpack all of this, but if you go through the four horsemen of Revelation 6, it begins with the four beasts saying to John on each one, come and see. So the Lord is showing John the things that will be hereafter. Now, can I tell you the first thing that he saw in this God encounter? It was the mystery of the Antichrist. Y'all see that? So here's my point. Every encounter with God may not be filled with feel-good information. You hearing me? God's not as interested in how you feel as he is accomplishing his purpose in our lives. Can you grab a hold of that? Listen, I've preached this many times based off of Romans 8, 28 and 29. God's purpose is of far greater value than the way we feel. If something comes into our life that makes us not feel good or experience pain or experience difficulty or experience hardship, when that happens, It has design and purpose. And the purpose is for us to be more conformed into the image of Christ. How many of you understand that? All right, so here's what the scripture says. Peter teaches us this, that we should not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to come upon you. I want to submit something to you. The greater the difficulty, the greater the responsibility. The harder the hardships are in your life, the greater responsibility you have to respond in like fashion, because even in the fire, you are encountering God whether you recognize Him or not. You may be thinking it's the gardener. I'm telling you, it's not. It's God. Y'all with me so far? Now, as we go through, we're not going to take the time to go through Revelation 6 right now. We'll get there. But this is the mystery of the Antichrist. This is the beginning of John's encounter and what God wanted to show him. It says, and I saw, behold, a white horse. The implication of that verse, we'll just unpack this one verse, and then I want to show you something else in the book of Daniel that is intriguing to me, that connects to all of this. But I want you to listen to this. And behold, a white horse. Now, why is there a white horse? There's a white horse because Satan is imitating what Jesus does in Revelation 19. In Revelation 19, the heavens are opened. Y'all have heard us talk about an opened heaven. Let me do this. At the baptism of Jesus Christ, when John said, looked at him and said, behold the Lamb of God that's come to take away the sin of the world. And John baptized Jesus. At his baptism, the Bible says, and the heavens opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ like a dove. And the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So an open heaven releases the power of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Father. You with me? Okay, now watch this. In Revelation 19, the heavens are opened. And Jesus comes back from heaven on a white horse. And guess what? You and I are riding horses behind him through the air. Please tell me you heard that. And I have every reason to believe, based off of Revelation 1:7, that every eye shall see him. I have every reason to believe that Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, BBC, and all the major news networks are going to be gathered there at the Valley of Jehoshaphat with their cameras pointed in the air, seeing this event take place. Please, every cell phone is going to be videoing it. Because every eye will see him, the Bible says. So in Revelation 19, Jesus is coming back on a white horse. That's why the Antichrist is pictured as the white horse rider, because Satan imitates, he cannot create. Y'all didn't hear that. Satan imitates, he cannot create. Now you will ask, what does he imitate? He imitates everything that God creates. That's why you've got to be so cautious. Hear this, the scripture points this out, that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light and deceive the very elect if possible. Why is a God encounter so important? So that we can see clearly and we will understand and we'll be able to discern the spirits and know what is of God and what isn't. Try the spirits, the Bible says, and be able to discern that. Now hear this, listen to me. How many of you believe God created music? That means that Satan has imitated it. How many of you believe God calls preachers? That means Satan imitates it. Anything God has created, Satan imitates. In the spirit world. Y'all with me? That's why that this amoral kind of lifestyle and culture that we're facing is not at all what it appears to be. It's not harmless. It's very harmful. We'll get to that in a moment. Nonetheless, Satan is riding on a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Didn't have an arrow, but he had a bow, which indicates the Antichrist does not come in by military might. He comes in by political power. Okay? We have the backing of that in the book of Daniel, which we'll look at in just a moment. But he has a bow. He doesn't have an arrow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, there's all kinds of things about this crown. There's all things about him conquering that we will unpack when we get there. But I'll just give you a brief preview. I heard a man talking this week about the crown part. In the original language, this is actually a word for corona, is the way it's worded and pronounced. If you go through from this seal all the way through the first four horsemen, there are paralleled things happening on earth right now. Okay? Now, I'm going to submit to you, just for your study and for when we get to Revelation 6, I want to submit something to you that though we are seeing these things take place now, we're not seeing them to the intensity that we will see them. I want you to keep that in your mind, okay? So we look around and it'd be awful easy to say, well, we're right smack dab in the middle of the tribulation period right now. No, we're not. We're not. We're not there yet. But I can tell you this. If you compare this verse based off of Paul's teachings to the church of Thessalonica, here's the conclusion you'll come to. The mystery of iniquity, or that is, the spirit of the Antichrist, is already working. How many of you have ever felt opposition toward a God encounter in your life? Where did that opposition come from? It comes from the spirit of the Antichrist. How many of you believe the person of the Holy Spirit is real? So is the spirit of the Antichrist. If you go to the strict definition of the person of the Antichrist, I would submit to you that there has been a person of the Antichrist on planet Earth since Acts chapter 1. Okay? That's been true. There's no doubt about that. You can go back to Nero. You can go back to during the Dark Ages. You can go to Hitler, who I believe was a person of the Antichrist that was captivated by the spirit of the Antichrist. And he was in waiting for such a time that Jesus would return, because can I tell you, Satan does not know when Jesus is coming back. He has to be ready. So when Jesus returns in the middle of the air and the saints of God rise to meet him, the Antichrist steps into power. So ever since the announcement that Jesus was coming back, Satan was as surprised as we were. When the angel come down in the clouds and said, why are y'all standing here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you see going up is going to come back. Satan's like, what? What do you mean he's coming back? So Satan gets the news. He does not know. The angels of heaven don't know. Only the Father knows when Jesus is coming back. So there has been a person of the Antichrist in place since Acts chapter 1. However, the spirit that is unleashed on the earth now and is absolutely wreaking havoc, if you will, all across the world. Now, I want you to put up Daniel chapter 7, and I want you to listen to this passage real closely, and it's connected to a God encounter of Revelation 4:1. Now, let's just recap what we've talked about so far, and I want you to, there's a passion in me that you understand this. A God encounter does not necessarily equal you feeling good. Did you hear me? A God encounter does not necessarily equal you feeling good. Although I will tell you this. Every time I have had a God encounter in my life where the Lord was either going to rebuke me, draw me to repentance, or whether he was delivering to me news that wasn't good, I have still felt good in the middle of a bad thing. You know why? Because in the presence of Christ, there's peace in the middle of a storm. There's joy in the middle of conflict. And that's where true victory is always found, is in a God encounter. John is being called up in Revelation 4 to have a God encounter, and Jesus said, there's a purpose behind this encounter, John. I want to show you some stuff. And the stuff that he began to show him was about the Antichrist. Y'all with me so far? But before John talks about the Antichrist, he is experiencing Revelation 4, which is all the glories of heaven. Y'all with me so far? Now that brings us to where are we right now? If the mystery of iniquity is already at work, if the spirit of the Antichrist is already unleashed, I draw your attention to Daniel chapter 7. This is verse 25 through 28. I'm not sure we got all the verses up here, but it is a description of the person and the spirit of the Antichrist. It's after Daniel receives the vision of the four kingdom beasts of Daniel 7. Okay, so if we'd have had time, it takes time, but if you draw the parallel between the four horsemen of Revelation 6, the four beasts of Daniel 7, and what is coming out of all of that, you see this dominion or kingdom of the Antichrist, and here we're fixing to have a description of it. Here's the description. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. Pause there. When we see that begin to happen, we know the intensity of hell is increasing on the earth. Now, can I tell you something? We're already seeing that happen. I can't even begin to outline for you all that we're seeing about how people are speaking against the Most High. There is a group called the World Economic Forum. They are a group that... it's trying to globalize the world, okay? And watch this. Don't think that they're not making headway. They are. In the World Economic Forum, they have a purpose. They have stated goals in mind. Their stated religion is climate change. They worship the creation more than the creator. And that's what the Bible teaches us, that that's going to happen. And that's their main agenda. It's around climate change. And Klaus Schwab is the guy who founded the World Economic Forum. The leaders of the world gather in Davos once a year to discuss the agenda of the globe, okay? He has a philosopher, and I can't pronounce his name for you, but he has a philosopher along his side, and this philosopher, every time he speaks against the God of the Bible in those terms. As a matter of fact, one of the things he said last week was this. The only thing that the God of the Bible has delivered to us is just organic matter. Now, number one, he's a self-proclaimed atheist. How can you be a self-proclaimed atheist and then attribute to God creative power for anything? You see how stupid that is? So we could all draw the conclusion, this man's an idiot. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so you've disagreed with me, okay? But watch, he's following a trend line of philosophically approached agendas around the world that speak great swelling words against the God of the Bible. Now let me tell you the purpose why Satan wants people to speak great swelling words against the God of the Bible. Listen to what it says. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. Do you see that? This shall wear out the saints. I heard a preacher talking about this verse this week. I was so absolutely intrigued, I had to share it. Here's why. The personal revelation that came to me is this. Now, I'm fixing to confess sin to you, okay? I'm fixing to confess to you sin. For years, I used to hear people talk about how they were burnt out. How many of you have ever heard that? Now, watch this. Listen closely to me. I'm fixing to confess sin. I had no compassion for that group. I had zero compassion for that group. As a matter of fact, I would tell them no such thing. If you're feeling burnout, it's just simply because you're not close enough to God. I confess that as sin to you. I repent before you for that. And I beg your forgiveness for that, because it is plain to me, and I've read this verse 1,000 times, that burnout is of the enemy. And here's proof. Sometimes the saints of God gets completely wore out. And we know the cause. It's when too many people speak great swelling words against the Most High. It's when the spirit of the Antichrist bombards us with information that we get absolutely wore out as the children of God. Are y'all with me? You following what I'm saying? Okay, now watch. Here's a description of how all this kind of works together, because here's what the Antichrist does. I can't tell you how important this is that you get this part, so that you will understand a twofold purpose through the book of Revelation. God has a strategy and a purpose, so does Satan. You know why? Because Satan imitates everything that God does. Y'all remember that part? Listen to this. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Times and laws. Now, if you do a deep dive on those two terms, here's what you'll begin to understand. You'll understand that what is being challenged here is culture and government. The establishment of laws is a government institution and has been since time began. During the dispensation of human government in the Bible. So government was established by God. The Antichrist is seeking to change laws. What kind of laws would he want to change? He would want to change laws concerning the religion he is promoting. One might think the Green New Deal. You with me? Now, watch this. Listen. We are challenged in the Word of God to be good stewards over planet Earth. As a matter of fact, if you want to get to the nuts and bolts of it, God put Adam and Eve in the garden and said, I want you to subdue it, take authority over it. It is yours. As a responsibility, we gave that over to Satan. If you want to get down to the brass tacks, climate change is as a result of Satan's activity, not man's. You want to fix the planet? Take authority over the planet in the name of Jesus. Are y'all following me? Nonetheless, this whole Green New Deal, and there is a vast connection between the Green New Deal and the fourth seal of Revelation 6 that we don't have time to get to, but I can tell you that that's part of what we're seeing. This mystery of iniquity, this person of the Antichrist, is seeking to change laws, but he's also seeking to change times, that is, the culture, the season. He's trying to wrap it in. Can I tell y'all something? Please just hear my heart for a minute. We're in the most dangerous times in the history of the world. Did y'all know that? Did y'all know that there is, we're inching ever closer? And some people, it's like we just sat back and we're just, all these things are happening and nobody cares or something. But we, did you know that we are that close to World War III? Did you know Russian nuclear subs are right close to the U.S. border? Equipped with ballistic, are y'all aware of that? Watch. All of these things are happening, yet what is it that captivates our government now? It is whether or not a girl is a girl and a boy is a boy. Could you explain to me how insane that we have to be talking about issues like transgenderism when we're on the verge of World War III? How blind do we have to be to think that if we come up with some kind of a philosophical conclusion on transgenderism, that's going to make the world better? Please tell me, what kind of stupid pill have we taken that would blind us in such a way as to, here's what it reminds me of. Never forget this. And I'm gonna hurry. When I was just a young kid, I'll never forget this. I was just a young boy. I can't remember. I'm about 7, 8 years old. I'll never forget this. Papa and Mama lived in Pennsylvania, and they were on their way to Virginia to see us. And I was so excited. I'd never forget this. And they walked in the house, and Papa walked to the kitchen table. Dad got him a cup of coffee. They sat down there at the kitchen table. And I was playing in the floor with some kind of matchbox car or something. I can't remember what I was playing with, but I was just entertaining myself there. But I heard them talking. They began immediately talking about Enoch in the Bible, how that he walked with God and that he was not, for God took him. And I'm down there playing with a little car. And that something went off in my heart. I can't tell you, I don't understand all this at all. I can't explain it all. But I can tell you this. I knew that at that moment, what am I doing playing with toys when that's going on? It had to have been God to give me that thought. But I remember Papa saying this, never forget it. He said, Doug, he said, I can just imagine Enoch walking out in the fields and he starts praying. And here comes the presence of God. And the Lord finally just said, you know, Enoch, you're closer to heaven than you are earth right now. Why don't you just come on home? Then they started talking about how that was a type of the rapture. Now, here's why that's significant to what I'm saying. It's like we're playing with toys when all these big things are happening. And I'm trying to tell people, look, do you see that? And here's what everybody's responding by. I'm busy. I'm playing with my Matchbox toys. And the whole time, the Antichrist is changing times and laws. That goes on to say, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time, which is the 3.5 years of great tribulation that's being talked about here in Daniel 7. It goes on. We're not going to go through the rest of the verses, but well, you can put them up there. It says, but the judgment shall sit. Now, I shouldn't have put that verse up there because now I want to tell you everything and I can't. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. If you got the next verse, put it up there. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So what you have is a prophetic view of the kingdom of God destroying the kingdom of the Antichrist. I wish we could get in. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. You have the next verse. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations must trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now listen to me. The parallel between what Daniel is talking about here and what John when he encountered God is absolutely amazing. And here's what I want you to see. We're living in a time right now where a God encounter is needed. A God encounter is a must. You will not survive or sustain your spiritual power without a God encounter. But here's what I want you to understand. When you encounter God, you better be open to what God wants you to encounter and to see. Because sometimes what we see is not what we see. Are you hearing me? And can I tell you why? The saints are wore out. The saints are just absolutely wore out. That's what I'm seeing. Everybody's wore out. I was telling you about my tire going out. And that thing, when it went out, I mean, I got parked and there was no tire left. And the rim was all chewed up and couldn't find the tire. All I know is a cannon went off and that truck sat down. Jerked the wheel and I was thinking, oof. And I got it slowed up. So I called Al and I said, who's your tire guy? And I said, we got to get a hold of him, bring a wheel and a tire. And he said, well, before we call, he said, I just want to pull a Tim Parsons on you. And Tim Parsons is a guy who used to go to the church. He's an old truck driver, loves God with all of his heart, just loves the Lord. If you met Tim Parsons today, if he walked in here, and I said, hey, Tim, what you doing? He'd say that. Here's what he'd say. I just want to stop and praise his holy name. I just got to praise his holy name. So I called Alan and I said, Alan, blow the tire, steer tire. And he said, oh, Lord, on the interstate? And I said, yeah. He said, well, before we do anything, I just want to praise his holy name. Listen to me. A God encounter in the middle of difficulty is still going to have the manifestations of joy, peace, amazement, miracles. Can I tell you something? I'm not that good of a truck driver. I'm not. But God had angels dispatched around that thing. And Satan said, boy, I'm going to fix him. Can't kill him with cancer. Can't kill him with chemo. I can't take all of his hearing. I'll just kill him in that truck. Boom! And angels was dispatched. So, let me just set him right over here. That's a reason to praise his holy name. That's a God encounter. You hearing me? But in that God encounter, you might see some things that are of a difficult nature. Don't be afraid of that. Look at it. We're living right in the middle of a season where laws and times are being changed. And they're speaking great swelling words against the Most High. And it'll have this effect to wear the saints out. Here's what I'm telling you. It's high time to awake out of sleep. Do you get the word? Book of Romans. High time to awake out of sleep. Why? Here's why. Because your redemption draws nigh. The more we see times and seasons change and laws change, all we can say is, better look up because he's fixing to come in the middle of the... Are you ready? Are you ready for that? Father, bless your word. I pray, God, that you'll anoint it and use it. And as we get through into chapter 4 and 5, Lord, and beyond, I pray, God, that you'll prepare our hearts for the glory, for the majesty, for the awesomeness of your rule and your reign. God, we love you. Help us to understand it. I pray that each one here will have an encounter with you, and our minds and our hearts will be open to see properly what it is that you want to show us. And we'll give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.